This is the Cross Conference cast for August 9th, 2010, Closer to Bjork. On this episode, we discuss the WPS Memento style, the B in Hope Solo's bonnet, NCAA preseason, and we found Kerry Hanks! Don't forget to check out our blog, crossconference.wordpress.com, or send us an email, crossconference@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter. We're at crossconference. Well, let me give you one to grow on. Me and you have been digging each other now for so long, like an archaeologist looking for bones. Hey, I'm Joan.
And I'm Ruth.
And we are back with our 11th episode of the Cross Conference cast. It's almost like a second season in a way. Each season consisting of 10 episodes. And no, that's not true. We have a lot to discuss, so rather than talking too many pleasantries about how far we've come, etc. First of all, it should be known that we're drinking, right? Are you drinking? What are you drinking?
We're always drinking. I am drinking a Yingling.
Oh, wow. Classic. How Pennsylvania of you.
Oh, yes.
I am having a New Belgium Mothership Wit. An organic wheat beer brewed with spices.
That sounds pretty good.
In Colorado. It is surprisingly good. It reminds me of this other beer that I don't know the name of that I had once. So why don't we get started with some WPS talk, which is pretty much most of what we're going to talk about because nothing else really happened. We'll go in reverse chronological order, like Memento. So the latest game played was Boston at Philly, and that ended up a 2-2 draw. And we both saw that game on TV. And it wasn't quite as exciting as the 2-2 draw would imply, because it, save for those like very quick moments where there was the goal, it just didn't seem like, you know, either team was incredibly dangerous, or either team was really controlling the game, the pace or the flow of the game. The first goal was scored by Lauren Cheney, and it was a good goal, though I think a better defensive line would not have let her get away with it, and I think it really exposed Philly's weakness in the middle of their defense. But they came right back almost with two back-to-back goals by Magnus Dotter, which were really good goals for the most part. Mostly entirely goalkeeper error. Sorry, listen to her. We love her. We love her. But I think she got a hand on both of them and couldn't make it.
I think it was that first one that looked like even if she got a hand on it, she really had to do some maneuvering to save herself there too. Like she was working really hard not to run into that pole. So
yeah, well, on the first one, I think it was an indirect free kick. So if she hadn't have touched it, it wouldn't have counted. But I mean, that was kind of strange. I don't know exactly how. Maybe I'll watch the replay, or probably not. But
we'll go with yes.
Go with sure.
The answer is C.
Yeah. So that was that was that game, and it was. I mean, it was probably one of the better televised WPS games, I guess. Well, no, I can't say that. It was okay. It was average. Not the worst, which was Atlanta Chicago. That was god awful.
I don't know if I even watched that one.
You didn't have to. On Saturday, Chicago was at FC Gold Pride. So one of the like more struggling teams facing FC Gold Pride, who is pretty dominant, they had been held scoreless in Boston.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, because they had what it was back-to-back scoreless draws for them, which is very strange considering the firepower that they have. But I think once again they started Marta, Sinclair, Milbritt, and O'Hara. And I think that is not a winning combination for them, literally.
Well, I think O'Hara's a recent return to the lineup because she was out with that parasite for a while.
Is she an alien now?
No, I think it's Mexican.
Oh, you mean literally, like the thing that she picked up? Oh, okay. I was like, is this a clever reference to 2008?
Oh, no, I didn't even. She supposedly picked it up in Mexico in 2008 at the qualifying tournament for the U20s.
That sucks. parasites are no good. Let's see. So, I mean, it's good that Chicago held on against FC Gold Pride, and apparently they dominated the first half, but they're still not scoring. And it's still the problem they had last year. They've had this problem going on 2 years now. It's not really a coaching issue. I think some decisions need to be made about maybe some internationals, et cetera. That aren't.
So they can bring back Emma Hayes now.
Yeah, bring all is forgiven. Well, in the meantime,
they did make international moves.
They did. They got they mutually terminated their contract with Kosovar Eslani, which is okay. She wasn't there long enough really to get to know her, and I guess she didn't get the playing time maybe that she wanted. And they also traded Anita Santi, who they picked up from the Atletica demise. I almost said Atlantica. Atletica demise.
They're just so dead to you that you've forgotten their name.
Doesn't it seem like a lifetime ago?
Oh, thank God, yes.
They traded her to Washington for nothing, essentially. I guess the rights to Faith Adiki. I think that's how you say your name. Okay. Assuming she comes over, I guess.
Sure. Well, and they don't even have a chance with her until 2011. And you have to assume that they wouldn't even have a chance with her in 2011 because of the World Cup.
Yes, thank you. I didn't even think of that.
So, pretty much for nothing.
Yeah, smart Chicago. To top it off, Megan Rapinoe still not central midfielder. I'm going to mention this every podcast until it comes true.
That is this week's mention.
Though she did play, Omid Namazi mentioned that he put her in the center, and that worked. Like, you could see the goal that she assisted on for Ella Massar's goal. She was in the middle there, and that's where her vision is effective. That's where she's effective, not on the flanks, running in from the side, where she's tempted to take these incredibly ill-advised long-range shots. I mean, she takes a lot of long-range shots, but they make more sense when she's in the middle. Anyway, sorry. Well, that's Chicago. And on another struggling sides conversation is Atlanta losing to Sky Blue FC, whose name I did not stumble over.
It's amazing.
I know. if you can't win now with Hope Solo, Lori Kolobny, Aluko, I think that is, in particular, a coaching problem. I don't know if that's the best guess, and I'd be welcome to be proven otherwise that there's some magical personnel problem or Sky Blue FC really outclassed them or something.
Yes, that is. I would love to know if that happened too.
Okay, and then on Wednesday, we can talk about the uneventful game in some ways. DC finally won a game after like a month of losing, and Jim Gabera.
Was it like 10 games of not winning?
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Not winless for a month. Finally beat Philly. And Ashlyn Harris, the goalkeeper, got her first professional win. That's really good, considering. I mean, she's been like mentally, like you think about like all these top goalkeepers that you heard of, and at some point her name would be mentioned for a long time. But then, of course, those injuries, and it's a huge setback for her. But it's, I mean, I'm happy for her.
She has all of those college cup wins, like.
That's true. Not too bad, though. She doesn't really get the credit for those, do they? Goalkeepers don't get credit at North Carolina. Jim Gabara didn't seem like it was a hot seat so much as a totally sinking seat, like it was sinking into quicksand. And, 'cause it's not like he doesn't realize the pressure's there, or it just looked like, yeah, it was really awful. So, I mean, they had a bye weekend, but won, that game at least, which I guess is good for them, and but not good for Chicago. So they need to stop winning, and Chicago really needs to pick it up. Let's see. In the other Wednesday game news, Boston played Atlanta, and Boston continuing their ramp up or whatever this is that they've started. They beat Atlanta behind two Kelly Smith goals. And it's that's positive. Kelly Smith being healthy for an extended period of time. Feel free to chime in here because feel like I'm just talking
Oh
all the
no, I mean
time.
you're on a roll, and
No, no, no. I don't want
I
to
have
talk the
nothing to
entire.
say about Atlanta or well, no, I do have stuff to say about Atlanta, but not just yet. And DC, I don't know, just
You
yeah,
don't
I
care.
want Chicago to pick it up. I want
And you, do you have anything to say about FC Gold Pride? I mean, at least that, like, because what is there to say? It's like, oh, their goalless draw, two game slump. Is there slump? Like,
They let Callie Fountain go. And
that's her
actually,
name, Callie? I've always said it
yes.
Kaylee
Yeah.
in my head because I don't really say it out loud. Okay.
I think it's Callie. Pretty sure it's Callie. But yeah, it does look like Kaylee. And it doesn't matter either way, it's so close to Kelly that you could be talking about anyone on FC Gold Pride. But she had been injured early on in the season and has been a developmental player for a while. And this is one of those instances where I think it actually matters that she was a developmental player because I don't know, sometime last year I was reading about the differences between the developmentals and the full rostered players, mostly because I couldn't see the difference. And it has something to do with contract and whether other teams can make a move on you. And my cat has come to join us for this podcast.
That's good because we're going to get to the interesting part pretty soon, and I'm going to need his opinion. This is going to be a little bit like crossfire here. I'm sorry, continue.
He's taking a seat. He'll wait for us. Oh, right. And so I guess a developmental player, another team can, make an offer to them, and a trade wouldn't have to occur. The player can just take the offer or something like that. There's a lot of fuzzy details that probably don't actually get enforced. So Atlanta, the Atlanta Beat have offered Fountain a spot on the full roster. So I guess it's a good move for her, and I kind of expected her to end up in Atlanta during the draft anyways, or in the preseason. But I don't want her to go to Atlanta. Like, I know she's not getting the playing time with FC Gold Pride, but I don't like Atlanta at all. At all. I mean, maybe she could go to Chicago. She can score goals.
Can
She's
she?
supposed to be a defender, but she
Can
can
she?
score goals.
I couldn't hurt at this point. She scored as many goals as almost anybody else on that team.
Ramona Bachmann.
She scored as many goals as Ramona Bachmann. That's true. Yeah, so that's what we'll have to say about, like, straightforward WPS stuff. You know what? Well, we'll be right back with the cross-conference cast. And we're back. I'm Joan.
And I'm Ruth.
And we're going to debut a special regular segment since we've already, like, you'll find out later that we've established the whereabouts of Carrie Hanks. There's no need to worry about her anymore. She's safe, everyone. This is a new segment, I think, that we thought was going to be a lot more regular than I think maybe it will be now in the future. But we're going to call it the B in Hope Solo's bonnet. It's a time where we explore what Hope Solo is complaining about in this period recently. We can talk about a few of the topics that she's feel the need to express herself about. The thing that first the impetus for this was a series of toots about refereeing, should we pull those up? You made a post.
I referenced those, but I left them off the post because it was getting really lengthy. Basically, Hope Solo did the research, or had someone else do the research. This is from August 4th, and she talks about it was before the game, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
She talks about the officiating, and I guess supposedly this is from an NBA angle, but you can see what she's getting at here. She pulls up some stats where, oh, well, this doesn't translate very well because there aren't loose ball fouls in soccer. Okay, we'll skip ahead.
Well, basically what it was what they were just sort of unsighted facts about refereeing bias and how we need to have better referees. And I'm wondering where she thinks these better referees are going to come from.
Especially since she's citing these stats from NBA games.
Yeah. I think there was one about taller players getting, or was that was NBA?
I think all of these come from some kind of study done about the NBA. Mm-hmm. So it's not even real basketball.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Hope Solo, but...
Well, no, it's wine basketball, which is kind of what it makes sense for her.
Yeah, but it's like citing Wiki.
I guess, and the next thing that she had to say about things that are on her mind, grapes, so to speak. She had something on her mind, grapes. How do we introduce this?
I guess you have to open with that this was, it was a 2-0 loss, And this isn't the first time that Hope Solo has had issues at a Boston home game. She had previous issues when she was with St. Louis at Boston. And Boston has one of the few supporters groups in WPS. You know, what goes along with supporters groups is the heckling and the chanting. Which in St. Louis seemed to have more to do with cheering for Hope Solo, and in Boston, you only ever hear about the Riptide when it's when it has to do with insulting Hope Solo. So that's pretty much my experience with supporters groups, except for Chicago's, and that's because I was at the first St. Louis home game. Got to sit with them. Nice folks.
They're good. They are class acts.
They are.
Best in the league.
They definitely would not have inspired this kind of fury from Hope Solo.
So, yeah, basically what happened was a 2-0 loss. Hope Solo left, from the outsider's perspective, Hope Solo left the game without, or the stadium without signing autographs or talking to the media. And cites her reasoning as being that she did not like the jeering and the heckling that she heard, and said that there was profanity, racism, and crude remarks from their so-called fan club, quote-unquote fan club. She used the sarcastic quote marks. Well, they were just normal quote marks, but you could hear them. And, you know, there's not many ways to take that as, you know, accusing the Riptide of, you know, having, being rather profane.
Well, considering that the Riptide were probably, you know, more than half the people in the stadium for that game, because I heard that was a really low attendance game.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know.
Yeah.
And stands to reason.
Yeah. And it's not the first time, like you said, that you know, these two have clashed in a way. These two entities have clashed in a way. I think it was last year it wasn't official because I don't think she made a statement. It was just people said that she said they were making statements about her father. Which I guess they sort of deny. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. It wasn't really low.
Yeah, it wasn't. It wasn't really stuck to that much because no, she didn't have Twitter then. Yeah. So, and then a Riptide, obviously feeling a little bit defensive, posted their own to their own website, saying that, you know, no, we don't. We didn't make any racist remarks, and that the worst that they said was "you suck," and somehow I doubt that part. But maybe I'll take their word that they're not organizing racist chants at a women's soccer game.
Wasn't it said that they're not? There was no organized or coordinated singing or chanting.
Yeah, that was the joint statement from Atlanta,
which doesn't speak
Boston.
Well of the Riptide as a soccer supporters group.
Yeah, it's like that was no time there were any organized or coordinated singing or chanting of racially insensitive slogans or profanity by the Riptide supporters group or any other group of fans. So it wasn't organized. So it was really impromptu. whatever it was impromptu. Obviously, nobody's stated what exactly it was Hope Solo heard. I don't know where to even begin because there's so many interesting facets to this.
Okay, well let's start at how it was first mentioned, because I first heard about it on Twitter. I don't follow Hope Solo. But I heard from, I read from other fans on Twitter and the soccer boards that she didn't sign for kids, and she didn't talk to the press, and people were kind of pissed off about this. And after her statements came out, they were still pissed off about this. So you've got a pissed off Hope Solo, and a pissed off group of fans that Hope Solo wouldn't talk to their kids while she was pissed off. And I think that's a great place to start, because you've got a whiny player and a whiny group of fans complaining that, like you said, that Hope Solo was mean to them.
and Hope Solo saying they were mean to her and they were mean.
And then everyone went running to Daddy.
Yeah. the hall monitor or whatever. Teacher, you guys, don't. I guess there's that. You can discuss whether or not she should have stayed out, you know, and signed autographs or whatever. That's not the hugest sin in the world. Like, deal with it. So you didn't get Hope Solo's autograph this one time or whatever. And
personally, like, speaking from experience of having to being that young fan that wanted a player's autograph and interacting with one that was grouchy with me, like, I think Hope Solo made the right choice, because that pretty much ruined my enthusiasm for that player.
That's true. I remember. Yeah, you mentioning this to me.
And that was, she was pretty much my favorite player at the time.
In that way, I think that, it may have been kind of sucky from other people's perspective, but probably if you think about it a little bit, that might have been the best move she made, considering everything else.
And she did apologize for it and thanked fans. She said, "I hope to catch you at the next game," you know, and she even started the whole statement with an apology, especially to the young kids, which I think, you know, I hate defending Hope Solo, and I really hate saying that she's classy, but that was kind of classy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say classy. That would have been expected. I don't know.
Classy. I don't hold her in high enough regard to say that I would expect her to apologize first and talk later.
I mean, from any player of her renown, let's say. And I guess the second point is her toots. Were they or were they not appropriate? Was that the right venue for her to express if she really had a concern about this? I don't know. It's hard for me to say what would have been a better way, other than, you know, going up to whoever she heard say that and say, "Why so racist?" You know, no. It's Twitter and it's the internet, and maybe I've just been around the internet for such a long time that, like, people accusing other people of racism over the internet is just kind of blasé at this point. I mean, I understand that racism is a very serious thing, but it just seems like
it's seems
the
like
internet.
There's been so much of it in the past 3 or 4 years.
I mean, you can say like 5 years. Yeah, and in various it doesn't matter what you're a fan of, whether it's a television show or a sport or whatever, it's going to come up and somebody's going to think you're racist.
Right, and soccer has a huge history with that. And you know, it's kind of concerning. I mean, it hasn't really come up yet for WPS, or at least it hasn't been talked about much. And so it hasn't really been a topic of discussion, but especially with all the people that you know, their push is that they want the atmosphere at these games to be like the atmosphere at men's games or games over in Europe. Like, really, that's what you want? You want the racism and the homophobia and just that kind of shit? Like, I mean,
yes.
I get that they want enthusiasm, but I guess you win some, you lose some. We'll take the soccer, but we have to have the crappy reputation with it,
I guess.
But I don't know. Chicago manages to get through their games without being accused of racism.
I don't know. It feels like Chicago
has
bigger
problems. Hasn't Hope Solo played there?
Well, I guess, I don't know. It has something to do with the history of racism, and that there is a history of racism in Boston as a city.
Oh.
Not that there isn't in every single town, but so I think that's maybe why Riptide were a little bit sensitive to it. And I don't know. Like, if you consider her options, which were to just be pissed off at everybody and maybe talk to the press and, I don't know, maybe mention it in the press maybe it will get print. Probably it would get print because it's coming from Hope Solo.
Right, she's totally old hat at that.
Yeah, and it could go okay for her or really really badly. It could have gone, you know, exactly the way it went in this case. Though I mean it would have it. I would like to give, you know, maybe a little bit of credit to the press that they would have asked other players if they had heard the same things and if they experienced what Hope Solo was describing.
Right, they're gonna ask like Lori Kolupny, who.
Well, no, they're gonna. They could ask
just
any other
smile
player.
And shake her head.
That's true. She's from UNC. She knows not to say anything. Or she could go to the GM or something. But it's like, really, the player is gonna talk to the GM, and what is the? I don't know. And like you said in your post, which was really good, by the way, high five. I didn't get to
Thank
tell you,
you
that today. I really like that. It would have been, once again, like just shrouded in secrecy. And
we never would have heard about it.
Yeah, which could have been good in a way. I don't know.
But I think this is a conversation that needs to be had, not just on the racism front, because clearly we're not having the racism conversation. We're mostly hearing, oh, it wasn't racist. Nothing was racist, which is questionable. But also the conversation of, okay, WPS opened this up from the very beginning and made Twitter the media of choice, or the medium of choice for players and fans and staff, and you know, if they want it to be legitimate, they have to be willing to work with stuff like this. Like they can't just take the good, the Project Pink, without the bad. And this isn't necessarily bad. It's definitely you know, it's opening up a conversation that I'm positive we wouldn't have had otherwise.
That's very true. So in that way it is good. And that I think the Riptide, I wouldn't say overreacted really, but I think they could have been a little bit more classy. In their response to what they viewed as classlessness, and just been like, look, really, you're gonna accuse us of racism on Twitter, like, in that way? And then they're like, we demand an apology, or, you know, she explained what she said, and, you know, and mostly it was what they want. They demanded an apology, and
they took it awfully personally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because they seem to attack her personally. So they're assuming that, you know, she's going to give it right back to them. And maybe she is.
For the sake of context, maybe we should clarify what the supposed racist commentary was.
Well, nobody knows.
But it's sort of the conjecture out there.
The conjecture is it was either someone was making fun of or mocking Aya Miyama's name by repeating it in sort of a racist interpretation of a Japanese accent, or and that's been disputed, or it was comments toward Eniola Aluko for her to go back where she came from, which I guess England. I don't know. But nobody really knows because it hasn't been stated by anyone officially what it is exactly that Hope Solo heard, or what other players seem to have heard, because it seems that that statement was validated by other players. I don't know by which team. I assume the Beat, but I don't know. But it seems to be validated that at some point these offensive comments were made. And I say offensive, but it's just I'm sure anybody could take offense to what Riptide says, but not that they said these things, but like over the top standards for like heckling. And so So we don't really know. We don't really know. Where was I going with this? We don't really know. We don't know what exactly was said, but something was enough for both teams to confirm it. Yeah. Okay. So Riptide demanding an apology just seems kind of like, you know, and you know, it just like, I mean, because really, do you expect her to apologize? You expect Hope Solo's going to apologize? And would they even accept it? Did they really even want one? I think
she already apologized
to the children.
But I mean, like, to all the Boston fans and especially the young kids. Okay, she didn't apologize to the media. She also didn't directly call out the Riptide, and if they don't claim the statements that she found offensive, then you know, she could be talking about any fans and they can lump themselves in with the true fans.
It's all semantics. No.
Well, they play the stupid joint statement plays that semantics game too. Like,
that's true.
It drives me nuts. Are we there yet? Can we skip to that?
we'll get there in a second, but
because that pisses me off. I feel like Hope Solo right now.
Yeah,
maybe it's the beer.
Well, then you're with the Riptide with that. They were not happy with that statement. I don't know. Because it would have been better if they would have been like, this is on Twitter, really, and not be like, we demand an apology. Cause it just seems like overly like a politics move. Like, that's something you would see on a campaign trail where the losing candidate would be like, we demand an apology immediately.
It's all mudslinging.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty much mudslinging. I guess we could talk about the official statement. So almost a week later, the Atlanta Beat and Boston Breakers organizations finished their conclusive study of
the
goings
on
of the NBA, which they determined referees are biased. And no, they determined that according to all the reports, something was said, I guess offensive. It doesn't necessarily say racist, but I guess that was the, but they don't say that it wasn't racist.
Right. It crossed the line from traditional heckling to abusive language that is neither respectful of the players nor appropriate for the family friendly entertainment. Yep. Nothing about race in there.
No. But then later that they say that, The coordinated review also conclusively showed that there were no organized or coordinated singing or chanting of racially insensitive slogans or profanity by the Riptide supporters group or any group of fans. So they're sort of saying that it was an individual or individuals acting alone. Gunmen.
Who might or might not have been members of the Riptide.
Yeah, because they don't say that whoever it was not a member of the Riptide. They just say that there was no organized, which is completely fair and makes sense.
I bet they were UConn fans.
I'm cutting that out.
Come on.
So that was the statement, and basically the statement from the Bees, they regret that their personnel or whatever spoke out in such a manner. What regret that a member of their organization used social media to make public allegations against the Breakers organization. What kind of media would they would prefer that
don't look at us
without first bringing her concerns to the attention of either club.
Essentially,
I don't know. Like, does anybody else, like, first I'm going to make my concerns known to the club. You don't hear about that in the men's game. They go straight to, like, the press and stuff. And guys are too dumb to use Twitter, so...
And Hope Solo is almost there.
Yeah.
But did you see what the Breakers have... The organization has decided to do so that this individual behavior stops. There's going to be additional stadium security in close proximity to the visiting bench and the goalkeeping areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that
totally stops racist behavior.
Yeah, that's true. that it's your sarcasm there. I think that does say something a little bit. Something I don't know where the heckling takes place, but I don't know, additional security. I mean, I don't really know what security is going to do about that. I don't know.
It totally fixes that family-friendly environment.
Mm-hmm. But basically, this is sort of the statement that I like. What I'm reading here is that it sort of refutes Hope Solo's insinuation that the Riptide did make profane and racist statements or heckling or whatever. And I can see I will say that I don't think she's a liar. She's not a liar. She's clearly not a liar. She's a lot of things, but a liar she is not. This is like that part in Chasing Amy where the guy describes what the girl has done all this time, and then thank you is like, you know, he's a lot of things, but he's not an embellisher. Anyway, you totally get that.
Yeah.
You probably know.
No.
It's probably was made before you were born.
I've heard of it. I've also heard of the Beatles.
You're a child. So I think from my standpoint, what happened is she heard these things, and in combination of her past experience with Riptide and what she was currently hearing from Riptide, she had no compunction about combining the two. And I think that's where she misstepped, maybe. If she had been a little bit more clever in her tooting and maybe not called out their fan club, there would be no problem. She could have just said certain fans, something else. But it's clearly, you know, like we said before, these two entities have some personal issues with one another. And I think... I mean, I don't know. I don't think it would ever be a good idea to make somebody apologize because they're not going to mean it that way. It's like when your parents made you apologize for something, did you mean it?
Kidding. It was always to my siblings.
Yeah, so you clearly did not mean it. You negated meaning it.
We always just beat each other up again later.
But yeah. So I don't, like, should she apologize, though? Like, do you agree with me in that point where the statement kind of refutes the insinuation that...
Oh yeah, this is really crafty and really obvious rhetoric where they're like, there was a problem, but it doesn't really exist. There's a lot of hand waving in here,
mm-hmm. And it's kind of really... like what I do.
It's a lot about how you talk about the Pilots and their chances to win the College Cup this year. Although, actually, I think they'll have the West Coast Conference this year. That's off topic. Yeah, I don't know. This is... I did not like this statement. I didn't like the wording of it. I didn't like how it insinuated that Hope Solo was in the wrong, particularly in the wrong for using Twitter to voice her concerns.
That's true.
Because if nothing else, this statement proves that we never would have heard about it. It's like, oh, damn, one of the kids did something in public again instead of, you know, doing it behind closed doors. Like, yeah, doesn't that suck? You've got the top goalkeeper in the world and you want to keep her under wraps. I need another beer.
Are you going to go get one or are you?
No, I'll stay here. Oh. I'm not going to have another beer.
No. Okay.
I'll eat one, but I won't have one.
Well, no, I guess the question is, you know, should she apologize for that? It's like, it seemed that she was made to apologize in 2007. And
this is on MySpace, and sure, she can be made to apologize on MySpace, but I don't think she should have to make a legitimate public apology. That,
yeah, like maybe I mean, I don't know if we should expect one, really. I mean, personally speaking, if I did something like that, I probably would, because I mean, it would be I think the MySpace statement was more of like, I'm going to dodge this and clarify, but
I'm going to try and get my seat back on the bus.
Yeah, unfortunately, did not on the plane, really, which did not happen.
I mean, maybe they could order her to, you know, do 4 hours of community service, but I don't think there should be any demand of apology, or especially since there was a reason for her to make those statements. And I don't think there should be any discipline or fine from the league.
No, there couldn't be. I don't think there's grounds for it.
I wish that the Breakers organization would address the issue more directly, instead of just saying, "Oh, we'll keep Hope Solo away from the sounds of these racist taunts," you know. Instead of actually dealing with the racist issue itself.
Well, I think they sort of did. I mean, what makes you think that they didn't? What do you, like, what are you seeing that they, are you saying that you think that Riptide did make racist statements as an organization?
I just think that, you know, instead of just denying that anything racist could have been said and backpedaling and stating very, very loudly that they're not racist. They're not racist at all. There's no way that anything racist would ever happen, you know, at a soccer game. You know, maybe just address the fact that there is a history of racism in the game, and you know, like, it was suggested on Twitter today that it's probably a good idea for the athletes to have social media training, which I agree is a really good idea, because I'm so sick of the serial tweets from Hope Solo, because it makes it really hard to retweet or to reference them. But I think that, you know, the Breakers organization or Riptide, either one, not claiming responsibility for the racist statements, should, you know, maybe do some kind of seminar or something on the history, or on, you know, racial acceptance, or because it wasn't organized, they can't pinpoint anything, but they could address the fact that, yeah, you know, it's understandable that you know, that it would be assumed that something racist was said. And, you know, we absolutely do not tolerate that, and we'll reiterate that, you know, to our members, not just to outsiders. You know, just make some small gesture.
I don't really know about that.
All in all, the Breakers aren't doing anything about it.
I'm not really sure what they can do, because it seems that, you know, the fan club took it very personally and very a little over seriously in some ways, considering the medium and considering it was from the player they heckle the most, but I don't know what you can do about such isolated incidents. I guess, on the other hand,
since most people didn't consider. They didn't consider the statements that some people would take as racist to be racist, then I guess maybe, you know, education is not the answer.
I really don't know where to go from there, because
maybe we need to talk about happier things.
Yeah, because I'm really confused about what you're trying to say, really.
Like, yeah, you can cut, like, all of that.
No, I mean, I'm sure it's clear, because I've been confused and then it's become clear to me later, but I don't
if
know.
If it doesn't become clear to you later, I have no problem with you cutting it out. Mostly because I don't like the discussion of racism because I feel like people aren't talking about the same thing anyways. Which
yeah,
is what
I
mean, I
was mostly talking about Riptide feels falsely accused. And if you take this joint statement sort of at face value combined with Hope Solo's tweet, that's certainly the case. And I don't know, do they deserve an apology? You know what? They kind of do in a way. I don't.
At the same time, they're a supporters group in Boston.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, that doesn't make them not dickweeds, but it, you know, just because they're dickweeds doesn't mean they're racist or that they, you know, have racist behavior. It's, I mean, it's, yeah.
Can we talk about college kids?
Yeah, I don't know how we transition that. Okay. I guess the whole thing's kind of, disappointing to everybody. Probably. It's probably disappointing to everybody. But at least at least it can be over with. And unfortunately, what it does is add fuel to the Hope Solo hate fire that the Riptide has.
Well, they should be free of her a bit next season because we'll have the World Cup. For at least three games. And
So, I think we're done. We're closing this conversation.
Yay!
It's not getting us anywhere. We'll be right back with the cross conference cast. We're back with the cross conference cast. I'm Joan.
And I'm Ruth.
We need to come up with clever nicknames. The U20 Women's World Cup. The U20 Women's World Cup finished, and it finished pretty soon after we, not too long after we last recorded. So it feels like it's been a long, long time. But absolutely nothing happened that was surprising. So, Germany and Nigeria made it to the final, and of course, Germany won. That's it. I mean, the good things were for Nigeria, really. I mean, they were the best story. I don't think that an African women's team had ever done so well in any tournament such as this. What do you have any special takeaways, etc.?
Not really. Oh, actually, I didn't put this in today's outline, but New Zealand, their reaction to the U20 World Cup is that they're reorganizing their women's league, and they're making it a youth league so that they can develop their current U20s at home. And they can develop them, you know, to the U23 level. So this is going to last like 2 or 3 years that their women's league is going to be solely for this age group. I think that's a really good idea. Of the U20, of the team that went to the U20 Women's World Cup for the Kiwis, I think there are two players that play in the U.S. One of them plays at Cal Berkeley. And the other one plays at, I want to say IPFW, which is pretty much a nothing school. but I think that's really cool. I mean, it shows some real dedication to the development of their upcoming players, and especially following the Our Game magazine article on Allie Riley. Did you read that one?
I skimmed.
It talks about how there isn't a lot of development at the younger levels for soccer over in New Zealand, because rugby is the sport. And now, I mean, and of course, like, the women's development is not going to be given as much attention as the men's development. So if that's already not being given much, then the women definitely aren't getting any. So this is an interesting adjustment. And it's kind of a shame, because I think it means that, that there aren't going to be a lot of, young football ferns coming to play for U.S. schools, so I won't get to watch them as closely. But I think it's good for the development of the New Zealand women's team, and that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really an interesting approach to their development, and I mean, yeah, we'll see how that works out for them. Speaking of the young players. We can move on to what, you know, really the most important thing ever, and that is the NCAA season. It's preseason time.
It started last week.
And we're excited.
You're
obviously
so excited.
You and I are talking about our preferred WCC teams, mine being Portland,
mine being
Santa Clara. And we're starting this series about the Portland Santa Clara game each year that happens once a year, like Christmas, except more special. and how that's a big deal. We could probably talk about that more when the time gets closer, but Ruth, how do you see Santa Clara shaping up?
I think that this is going to be a pretty decent year for them. I don't know necessarily how they're going to handle the loss of last year's seniors. A lot of which were super seniors or super 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 seniors or
super duper.
You know, really, like, they could have had AARP, but. So, like, they had some really strong leadership that left, but I think they've got some strong leadership that's stepping up too. They've got junior goalkeeper Bianca Hengner from the U20 World Cup. She's one of their captains, one of their many, many captains. And I mean, it looks right now, and, you know, totally knock on wood, it looks like a healthy team. And as long as Santa Clara is healthy, actually, Jerry Smith even said this in his release, you know, as long as they're healthy, they've got a good chance, you know, of being in the top 10. I think they ended in 10th place in the nation last year. So as long as they can stay healthy, I think they've got a good shot this year of at least staying in the top 10, like he said. And I think they'll keep the number 2 spot in the West Coast Conference.
Yeah, they look strongest as they've been in 5 years, really.
It's so painful.
And they've had some rough years, like rough luck, and I would say mostly, you know, sort of luck in their case, or the lack of it. If not for bad luck, they'd have no luck at all. I like Portland this year. Not as much as I liked them 2 years ago when I thought.
Is there ever a year when you don't like Portland?
I don't know about their necessarily national championship aspirations. I think they're fine to win the WCC.
I don't think that they'll have any problem winning the WCC.
Yeah, they have a really, like, fantastic group of seniors in Ellie Reed and Keelan Winters, Sophie Schmidt. And I'm interested to see where Sophie Schmidt will line up. She played forward for a little while, sort of near the beginning of her career, but then she settled back into central midfield. And sometimes she and Keelan Winters can play sort of similar roles. So that will be interesting to see. Unfortunately, we lost Charney Burke. She went to UCLA. God knows why. But I assume it was a personal decision
Well,
that
it's
she
definitely
needed.
not because she wants a championship ring.
Right. Clearly, she's not. This wasn't an Ali Long move.
Definitely not.
Like, that was not. Yeah, that was not motivated by that. So, it's sad to see that, because obviously I have opinions on UCLA, and so it's sad to see that Charney Burke goes there. But I wish her the best. From me to you, Charney Burke.
Maybe it will work out for her. Because like Santa Clara lost Jenna Belcher from the 2006 freshman class to UCLA, and for a while it seemed like she wasn't really gonna get the playing time at UCLA, and then I think last year she ended up getting it. So, maybe in her senior year, Charney Burke will get some minutes.
Perhaps. Oh, it's not. Charney Burke is not a senior, though. She is a sophomore, I think.
Right,
No,
we well,
sorry.
that's when we
Or
lost
she's a senior.
Jenna
Oh,
Belcher.
sorry.
She
Oh, okay. I know. I see what you're saying now.
didn't actually play for Santa Clara because she was injured.
Yeah.
Or she was sick. Maybe she was the one with mono. I've lost track of who all had what issue in 2006.
Y'all had problems. Yeah, and it. I mean, she did give Portland a couple good seasons, I guess. Not excellent. It's not like w it would have been like if Stephanie Lopez left or something.
Christine
But
Sinclair.
or Christine Sinclair. Christine Sinclair would never leave. Or never would have left. What else was I going to say? I think I was going to say something about how it a little bit. It was a little bit of the Megan Holmes thing when she defected from Santa Clara, but she didn't even. I think she had just sort of verbally committed to Santa Clara before she went to USC to
We
be with
definitely
her
didn't need her.
to be with her BFF, I guess, Amy Rodriguez, and they didn't have such a great, I guess, first few years, but eventually won a national championship. But I
Where is
wonder
she now?
where is Megan Holmes now? It's kind of confusing. She was on that 2004 team, FYI. One of three Megans, I think. There were three Megans on that team.
Pretty sure Megan Schnoor was on there.
Yeah. Obviously not the most important Megan.
Right, but
Sorry.
they all had different spellings of Megan, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. None of them were like the normal spelling. Like they all had like the others had like weird consonants in there and
Extra vowels.
yeah.
Oh, you want to hear something awesome?
What?
Clearly you do.
Is it Garcia Mendez?
Oh. Say it again, say it again.
Garcia Mendez.
That's wonderful. That's
I'm
actually not
sorry.
where I was going next, but
Oh.
we'll get there in a minute and you'll get to say it for a third time.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame announced today that Jessica Schuyler and Lauren Foulkes, also known as Lauren Fuchs,
Folks.
is their co-captains for this year's Notre Dame squad. And that's both awesome and hilarious. And best of luck to them.
That's great praise. Yeah, good for them. You wanted to talk about Stanford?
Yes. Well, not a whole lot. But Stanford's early preseason press release implied that Rachel Kwan, who had gotten injured at the end of the U.S.'s game against Nigeria and had to be stretchered off the field, they imply that she's healthy and playing. So that's good news. And they also say that the other Stanford players that played in the U20 World Cup, including Verlu and Garcia Mendez, are doing very well.
It's good to know that Garcia Mendez is doing well.
Yes. Especially since she should be playing in the upcoming Gold Cup.
Oh yeah, whenever that's gonna be. They still haven't announced when that's gonna be.
Sometime in October or November, and in Canada or the US or Mexico. You have choices.
So just there. All right. We'll be right back with the cross conference cast. We're back with the cross conference cast. Who are you?
I'm Ruth. Who are you?
Joan.
Oh.
So there are a few things that we wanted to mention. First of all, so some overseas players, players overseas. I made a little post about this, but Rachel Rapino apparently made the move to Iceland, where Carrie Hanks tried out. And apparently she's good to go in Iceland, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the last I had really heard of her as a player was that she was done after college,
And there
'cause
were tears and mourning and
I cried.
fasting.
Yeah. I listened to Kelly Clarkson and I ate ice cream.
We're kind of doing that anyways.
So it was like Tuesday. No.
Right before the announcement came out.
Yeah, so that's it's kind of interesting, is she's starting a professional career, I guess, or partially professional. I don't know how the Iceland Women's League goes, but it's a curious choice. She is really, really, she's a very good player, and it would be
Who
interesting
hasn't
to see
played
if
in
she,
2 years?
who hasn't played in 2 years, granted. I will give you that. She was a very good player. So, if I don't know what that's about. I mean, if it's about continuing on and getting farther and maybe moving to a different professional league, I don't know. But maybe she just wants to be near Bjork. I wouldn't blame her. I love Bjork. That would be cool. I could be closer
I've
to
never really
Bjork.
gotten the Bjork thing.
What?
I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't click with me. Which is weird because I listen to a lot of Scandinavian like
Like, what do
trance
you mean
music.
doesn't click with you?
I don't know. It just
That's like, I don't like potatoes. What the f
No, I
No.
think it's more like I don't like Dar Williams, even though they're two completely different
Yeah,
sounds.
but it doesn't make any sense at all since I don't listen to Dar Williams, but
I hate her. I hate her voice, and it just
someone's gonna send us angry mail.
I know. I like Tegan and Sarah. That's
That's
all that
different.
matters.
This is different. This is Bjork. So you wrote here some other people overseas who were, confirmed by Tiff Weimer.
No, a super secret source.
Oh, sorry. Confirmed by a secret source
Right.
that some other players are overseeing. Snell.
Megan Snell is in.
Megan Snell. I was like, is it Megan or am I just are
No,
we am
it's
I
Megan.
carrying over Megan's from other
And it's one
conversations?
of those weird spellings too, I think. But yeah, she's in Iceland with a different team than Rachel Rapino. And Hailee Steagall, who is one of those recent graduates from Santa Clara, is over in Germany. And actually, I think Siegel's the one that tore her ACL at Georgetown last year. We had a friend at that game. Really sad for Hailee Steagall, because I'm sure this was probably her third or fourth ACL tear. But now she's playing second division in Germany, and best of luck to her.
Yeah. So those are some little overseas things of note to us personally. But we have the Kerry Hanks update. As it turns out, Kerry Hanks is alive. She is well. She is in her home state. She has become the volunteer coach of
volunteer Texas assistant coach.
Oh, I'm sorry. Volunteer assistant coach of Texas Christian University.
The Horned Frogs.
Are you serious?
Yes. They're purple horned frogs.
Well, if they're purple, I guess. Wow. I don't know. Boy, Kerry Hanks. What happened? Watch this be like really sad and will feel so awful. Like if we find out what's really happened. Like this is just gonna be like the worst, saddest story ever, and then we're gonna be look like total assholes. But oh well.
I just miss her so much.
Yeah.
she didn't even go meet Obama with the rest of Sky Blue FC.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Republican haters.
Yeah. That seems very weirdo. No, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she's very moved on with her life or something, or I don't know. So we have a new award winner, and there's a little bit of talk. I'm kicking around the idea that we are going to rename our Twitter award to the Weimer Award for Micro Excellence. I think we might have to clear that with Tiffany Weimer. But pending that, this time we have a winner who was nominated really at the beginning, but since she protects her toots, you can't really see them, and you don't know what's going on or why anyone should care. So, she seems very willing to open up people to her world of really clever tooting. And this episode's winner is Karen Bardsley. Would you like to say some words about Karen Bardsley?
Other than I told you so. And
listen, it's not like I didn't believe you. It's just that.
It's that she plays for Sky Blue FC, but she's not playing right now. So.
What's her Twitter handle? Oh, I see. Anyway, yeah. Well, it was more that it was closed. And it's like, if I can't see it, I'm not going to give you an award. And I won't go through the effort to wait until no.
So I went through the effort with the cross conference Twitter account this week and you know, begged her to let us see those special toots, which, you know, she's one of those good players that has, you know, pertinent things to say and is willing to talk about other stuff as well, and actually responds when tweeted at. So, you know, that's a pretty good deal to get out of a player. Plus, she posts video and pictures, and she maintains a separate blog for when she needs to go over 140 characters so that she doesn't.
That is irrelevant.
yeah. Okay. So I think that Karen Bardsley, I would kind of like to know why she protects her toots, but I don't hold it against her because now Joan has access to them through cross conference and
she gets the award. So she earns it. She earned it. It wasn't like we just handed it to her.
This was many, many months in the works.
Yeah. So good for you, Karen Bardsley. It's KL Bardsley KL Bardsley on Twitter. Good for her. She's a winner. She's injured, but can win nonetheless. Just as Kelsey is injured, and is a winner nonetheless.
She is also a winner.
Kelsey wins everything.
She's going to be canonized.
She will. That's not a bold statement to make.
No, not at all. Not with our current Pope.
No. So, in conclusion, this was a long podcast.
And it's going to be edited a lot.
Yeah.
It's so funny because you were saying early on, oh, we're making good time.
Yeah, yeah. But I got sleepy as we went on, so got a little slower. I'd like to thank our listeners. We've been hearing from some listeners, and that's been
readers.
Really great. And some readers. Readers of the blog, that's which is even nice that they're reading. Literacy. we want to say hello to Alex Mendenhall, who has her own kind of a spot on Swirl Radio, and we'll definitely link that in the show notes. She mentions or she discusses a lot of WPS stuff, which is always great. It's good to see people using, you know, the mainstream media, MSM, you know, to promote women's soccer.
And she has a great sense of humor, so follow her on Twitter.
Yeah, she is pretty funny. And please feel free to contact us. You can write us an email, crossconference@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter. That's at crossconference on Twitter. And, of course, our blog, always crossconference.wordpress.com. Did we want to say other things?
Yes.
Yeah.
Quick shout out also to Chris Myers, who sent us some really great emails, and has commented on the blog, particularly about Santa Clara and Portland, some really great discussion about the women's youth national teams. Great discussion. It really brightened our week.
Yeah, yeah. So the rest of you can. No, that was really, really cool of him. And it's good to know that we have the kind of high level engagement that this podcast brings. Until next time, which will be, who knows? I don't know. I think. Well, obviously the playoff, I think by the time we talk, will be sort of finalized, or the picture, or let's hope that the playoff picture is finalized.
We at least know that FC Gold Pride is going to be in it.
Yeah, we know that. I mean, we were
not
touch and go there for a little bit. But, you know, thank goodness they pulled through.
That scoreless draw really saved them.
Yeah. Earned those points. Point. Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Oh, bye.
Good one. Keep on strumming.